Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
I should stay in the car and you wanted to do more. I get it. Wrong the right way.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We are in Boston, Massachusetts. You can call us at 617-779-0985. I was out and about. My in-laws were in town. My in-laws, my wife's father and his wife were in town, and there's nothing they're more proud of than that they go out to eat at 8:30 at night, and they sit at the bar where they eat. It's like it's a lifestyle that we can't comprehend. They're like, you know, hey, we just go with the flow, you know. We go out to eat 5 days a week, you know. We'll just go at 8 o'clock and sit at the bar, like, and you're like, all right, yeah, wow, that's fantastic. That's
wow, if only we could be like you.
That's so crazy. But, you know, you've got kids, so,
yeah.
Well, you don't know anything about eating at the bar at 8:30.
So did they find some of the local places around Newton to go sit at the bar at 8:30?
No, my daughter was 6, so I think there was a lot of disappointment that there was no chilling at the restaurants.
Okay.
But I did get about an hour away from everyone between all the youth activities. And I went to a bar by myself during the day. I had about an hour, like a straight hour. And on the wall is a picture of a team that the bar sponsored. Now, photo day. We got probably like 6 kids to that were there for the picture. It's very difficult to get the kids for photo day. But I will tell you this, is that a lot of flack from wearing the flip-flops, and this has become almost a cargo short situation.
So this is on the wall, a picture of a team that you coached.
Right behind you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. On the wall of the bar. I didn't know that they did that anymore, where bars could sponsor the baseball teams.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You get the bars, pharmaceutical companies, everybody.
Okay.
Yeah. Drug dealers, they all sponsor teams.
It's been a long time since I've seen that, because you're right. Back in the day when we were kids, you know, it would be like Shakey's Pizza and stuff like that would be the sponsor. I just haven't seen that in a while.
Well, no. In Newton, they got the advertisers.
Chico's Bail Bonds.
Like, yes, right.
Right.
Right. So, but a lot of flack for wearing flip-flops, to which I will say, take all your shots you want. You go to college in Florida, you adopt the flip-flop lifestyle. Freddie Flip-Flops is what I'll call myself. I just thought of it right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and people say these are female shoe. All right. I'll tell you, but then everyone's comfortable wearing those stupid-ass sandals where the band comes over them.
The Roman sandals?
Is that what they're called?
Yeah, I think they're like Roman sandals. I think that's kind of the nickname.
Yeah, those are stupid. Those are shower shoes. Flip-flops is the beaches of Hawaii, baby.
Yep. Oh, you're talking about the slides. You're talking about the one where it's just one big...
Yeah,
those are slides.
Yeah, those are idiotic.
I wear them around the house. I actually like them; they're comfortable. But I can't wear them out.
Yeah. All right. Well, so if you won't wear them out, you realize that they're unacceptable.
No, they slide off my feet when I walk.
Well, regardless, they're unacceptable.
That's the thing. It's like I've never been good with flip flops. Like they just always.
No, I will never apologize for wearing flip flops. Once you've spent time in a warm weather locale, they become part of your day-to-day life.
Grapefruit.
That's right.
Honeymoon in Hawaii, Fred. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Maybe, you know, I blew out my flip-flop.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you'll be one of those people who's staying at that old folks' home that's all Jimmy Buffett-themed in Florida.
Well, there's plans. I have contingency plans when Alzheimer's hits.
Yeah. Which, by the way, last time I went to Orlando, I got off at an exit that I don't think I was supposed to get off at, and it was the one that had that Jimmy Buffett resort, and it's a monstrosity. It might take up like 20 blocks. It is absolutely enormous. And it's right outside of Disney. And I know that the reason they picked there is because these old people are like, why won't my kids visit me anymore? Let's put it right next to Disney World so they'll actually have an excuse to stop by and see Grandma and Grandpa. And meanwhile, I got a little bit of a cocktail here with a pineapple in it, living the Jimmy Buffett lifestyle nowhere near the water.
Yep.
We are landlocked. Just sitting right in the center of Florida.
You know, sometimes you got to live your life.
I guess so.
Apparently, there's a podcast with Jeff Garlin where someone just sits in the background and they're Jimmy Buffett. They pretend they're Jimmy Buffett and they just yell like things about how, you know, just grab a pina colada in the background. My friend said it was fantastic.
Well, it sounds like the Dave Lee Ross show.
Yeah. And so, but I all the heat for the flip-flops. I mean, lots of heat, but I will not stop. You got me on the braided belt about 25 years ago. You tried to get me on the cargo shorts, which I kind of get, but I'm not stopping wearing them until they blow out. But in terms of flip-flops, no. That's a north. I wouldn't wear flip-flops in the city because I don't want to get, hepatitis stepping in something.
Yeah.
But in terms of around where I live, I have mine right now. As soon as the weather turns, baby, that's I got about.
When's that going to be?
Hopefully soon.
I saw my breath 3 days ago. I'm not kidding you.
It was nice and muggy yesterday.
Early this week, I was sitting at one of my kids' baseball games, and I was sitting there, and I started breathing. I'm like, I can see my breath. It's like May 20th or something like that.
Well, then you put on the flip-flops, and it takes you to takes you to another land.
You're transported.
It's like Calgon. It takes you away.
I remember that Jimmy Norton gave me crap for wearing flip-flops into the radio station. But that's just the way it's going to be. Nothing you can do to stop me. I remember I did soccer earlier this year. There was quite the controversy because I had my flip-flops had gotten wet, so I was barefoot. And I had about 5,000 people go, "Are you barefoot?" And I'm like, "Yeah."
I also don't wear flip-flops because my toenails grow at a rate that might be like 10 times faster than the normal person.
Well, no one's looking at your toes.
Well, I mean, they are just atrocious. To the point where, boy, this was probably like less than 3 years ago or so, my toenails got so long that I woke up and my bed sheets were sliced down the middle. Like, they get so long and pointed that I was just kicking in my sleep and I sliced my bed sheets right down the middle. It's like Wolverine. They grow so fast.
But no one's going to look at your toenails.
You say that until you actually like wear flip-flops, and then people are looking at your toenails.
I wear flip-flops every day. I don't think people are looking at my toenails.
Well, it's because you probably keep them nice and groomed.
Oh, yeah. I'm pedicure every day.
Do you know any guys who like get like manicures or pedicures? Not manicures, pedicures.
Crash.
Okay, Crash is one guy, and I knew another person, too, and I thought that was the strangest thing, but apparently that's like a... That's like something that the GQ type guys want to do. They want to go out and get. There's a decent amount of people who get like pedicures, and I'm very proud to know that I only know a couple of them.
It's gross. I've gotten once in my lifetime. The kids were out of town, and my wife said, "Would you get a pedicure with me?" And I did, and it's gross. They poke around, and it's and they move things around. Mm. It's no fun. No, it makes you. They like open up wounds. It's a whole situation down there.
It doesn't look very sanitary most of the time.
No. Jason, go ahead.
Fred,
How are you guys doing today?
Hey, what's
Steak
up?
Steak and eggs, brothers. Steak and eggs. Dude, the flip-flops. I can understand that the weather changes. You want to have your toes nice and air-conditioned. But on the ball field, dude, come on, bro.
They're little kids. What do I care?
I don't care. They're little kids. That's where accidents happen. They step on your toes. Nobody needs to see that stuff.
They weigh 60 pounds. They step on my toe, big deal. What do you think they're going to run? When would they step on my toe?
Zeke, anytime they're little kids, they do all kinds of foolish stuff in that dugout.
Well, first of all, God bless you if you think there's dugouts. But,
Put the turf shoes on. Put the turf shoes on. Put the bat toes away on the ball field. It's a no-no.
Believe me, I'll do whatever the hell I want.
Yeah, my baseball field where my kid plays, it's goose poop all over the place. So maybe flip-flops aren't the best solution.
I just like that you say poop.
Yep. What do you want me to say?
Crap. Feces. Poop is a very, that's like a, something that you would say to a child.
Just poop. An easy word, poop.
Nah, I don't care for that.
Okay. You're like fridge either.
No.
Which is a word that everybody says.
No, anything that you would say to like a little kid to describe something.
Is an unacceptable for adult conversation.
He doesn't care for that, Rich.
No.
He doesn't care for it.
Poop's just a word.
No, I guess you'll have to stop.
It's a word for little kids. It's a word that they use, like, in Caillou.
Oh, I don't think Caillou uses Caillou poop.
You'd be surprised.
His poop jumped on that kid's head.
I wouldn't know because Caillou immediately goes off my television.
That's forbidden in my house.
That's for much younger than my kids are. All right. Nothing really happened yesterday, but nonetheless... We will discuss it. In fact, is this the first time a expansion franchise has reached a championship series?
No, technically
since
not.
The 60s, but this is...
The rules are different this year than it was the last time an expansion team made it.
Okay, because it was quite something yesterday.
Yes.
Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
985, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, unlike last season, the Red Sox are a home run hitting machine.
High fly ball right center field, driven deep. Jones is back, turning around. Oh, he's done it again. J.D. Martinez to one of the deepest parts of Fenway. And he is now tied for the Major League lead in home runs. His second of the afternoon.
What a show. What an offensive explosion.
J.D. Martinez hits two more home runs yesterday, and with those Sox, they now have 68 homers in total since the beginning of the year, the most in franchise history through 47 games, and J.D. alone has 15, which means he's on pace for 52. Absolutely ridiculous. And what makes it all the more absurd is that Mookie Betts also has 15 home runs this season, making it the first time in Sox history that they've had two players with 15 dingers in less than 50 games. So last night, their 5-0 win over the Orioles kept them tied with the Yankees for first place in the AL East. Eduardo Rodriguez, he pitched 5 2/3 scoreless innings, kind of righting the ship there. And J.D. Martinez, after the game, said he is amazed at the amount of power that the Sox have had lately.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's one of those things right now where, you know, we're driving the ball, getting the ball in the air, and just getting home runs. It's one of those things. I don't know. I can't really explain it.
Are even you shocked, John Wallach, by the amount of offensive firepower this team has come out with?
You had one legit hitter in the middle of that lineup, and everything changes. I mean, there are a lot of the same guys in the lineup from last year. You put guys in the right place. You don't have Mookie Betts hit third or fourth. You have him lead off where he's more comfortable. He goes crazy. And J.D. Martinez, who, by the way, at the moment is a threat for the Triple Crown. He's second in, I think, in the American League. He's second in average, tied for first in homers, and one RBI behind Manny Machado for the American League lead.
He loves hitting dongers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He does. But who doesn't?
Well, I mean, you know, there's certain guys they can't get the long ball.
Yeah,
their swing trajectory is all messed up.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty funny that this is the hottest start the Red Sox have had through 50 games, and we're talking about even throughout the years where you had David Ortiz and Manny Ramirez together. It's pretty unbelievable what you're seeing. And, you know, Mookie Betts right now, is he the best player in baseball? If he's not, he's definitely in a top three conversation.
Well, both of those guys are in the top three at the moment.
Mm-hmm. It's a juice ball.
Is that what you think it is? It's all juiced?
I know for a fact it's a juice ball.
Mm-hmm.
There was those studies that came out last year.
Yeah, they got a little juice in that thing.
Well, the Red Sox have the night off. They will travel to Tampa Bay tomorrow night for a three-game series against the Rays. First pitch is tomorrow at 7:10.
The Rays got some shenanigans going on. They start a guy 2 days in a row. They pitch him an inning, and they're reinventing the wheel. A little LaRussa style.
They're shaking up the baseball world.
That's true.
Well, someone who did.
I don't think it's happened before.
Yeah.
Same guys started back-to-back days? You're probably right.
No. It's happened.
So they have the same starting pitcher 2 days in a row? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
But it happened in the past. Strasburg, I believe, got kicked out of a game after throwing four pitches, and he started again. In 1980 was the last time anyone threw any sort of pitch count that you could think of that started 2 days in a row.
How many pitches did the guy, how many pitches did he throw the first time he was out? First game?
He pitched an inning. And so it was like 16 pitches. And then they started him the next day. Because of, who were they playing? They were playing
Angels.
The Angels. I guess a very left-handed heavy lineup. And they decided that they wanted to strike it like that. So there's all kinds of innovations happening in the game.
Brad Stevens of managers down there.
Well, I mean, La Russa used to hit his pitcher eighth. Now everyone hits their pitcher eighth. Well,
Wayne,
so it's only the natural thing that everyone will start relievers on back-to-back days just to screw with left-handed hitting lineups.
Oh, he'd also pinch hit Wainwright.
Yep.
Well, let's all try to pretend that this didn't happen on Saturday night.
Celtics have the bad game 3 at Milwaukee. LeBron lobs it up and is thrown down by Nash. LeBron is toying with the Celtics right now.
He's playing with the game.
Yeah, he is.
Well, so just 2 days after not showing up for Game 3, the Celtics are eager to wipe that horrible memory clean tonight in Game 4. In the meantime, Terry Rozier thinks that maybe the Celtics needed to be slapped around a little.
All the mistakes we made, how can we correct them for Monday? You know, we know it's not going to be easy Monday either, but, you know, we got to come out and play better. I feel like we needed this, you know, to get us back. To get us ready for Monday.
Well, Brad Stevens knows that despite his team's perfect record at home, the team's record on the road during the playoffs has been pretty bleak. He was asked why he believes this is the case.
Well, we were great in the regular season on the road. We were one of the better teams in the regular season. I don't have an answer for you in the playoffs, but all that is a moot point for us. We have to play well. We have to focus on us and play well and play with more substance. And they took it to us.
Yep. And
mute
after all,
point, not mute point.
You did say mute point there.
That's stupid.
Yeah. And after all the praise he received after game one, Marcus Morris, he realizes he has to do a better job against LeBron James.
You know, I watched the first two games and, you know, how we defended them, how I, you know, defended them personally. And like I said, man, yesterday I just thought I did a terrible job. I think, like I said, I made myself very vulnerable and screamed. Like I screamed a lot and, you know, he made his play. He's a great player, and, you know, that's what we do. So, you know, we have to fix that.
I read an interesting article in The Athletic. I guess that Marcus Morris and Markieff Morris stayed up until, like, 3 o'clock in the morning watching the tape together. And I guess they do that a lot. The two of them go on FaceTime, and they'll both watch video, and they'll give each other advice on how to defend one way or the other. But he was obviously somebody who was very pissed at how things got. I mean, just no sense of urgency that entire game. And it was the ultimate sin, too, because not only were they not in it for the entirety, like right from the tip-off, but it was a boring game. Like, the entire game
there was no run. The Celtics, I think, were down 14 with the ball at one point in the year. And that's what passed for excitement, because, like, okay, if they score here, you know, maybe they make a run.
A friend of mine and I will often FaceTime and watch Screwballs.
And do the play-by-play?
Yeah,
of,
like the Randy comedy.
Do you ever go on to Loose Screws, the sequel?
I like the theme song, Loose Screws. Breaking away, but I like the cover of Screwballs because they're pulling a woman by her panties.
Doesn't seem legal.
Well, listen, there's different times, and she's trying to skedaddle, and they're like, not so fast, honey buns.
That sounds like Me Too the movie.
Yeah, wouldn't really pass nowadays.
I wouldn't think so. You wouldn't want that on a poster for your film.
No, but that was indeed the poster for Screwballs.
Yeah, as you said, times have changed. But that game sucked. I mean, Saturday night was just like, you're sitting there watching it, and it was kind of astounding how not one player showed up. Like, there's not one person you can point at on the Celtics who said, well, this guy was trying, or this guy was going for it. The most inexcusable thing about all of it, I believe, was that Horford had only 4 shot attempts the entire game. And I don't think he had any in the second half. So if this is a team and everyone says you run your offense through Al Horford and you don't even have him involved,
right.
Maybe that's because Rozier, a lot of the times, is just taking these ill-advised, like, jumpers.
But he's done that the entire play. I mean,
playoffs.
Yes, he has. He's taken pull-up shots with plenty of time on the shot clock. Most of them have gone in. The question is, how do you get Al Horford more touches and more chance, more shots? The other flip side of that is, everyone else on Cleveland did show up. George Hill showed up early. You know, J.R. Smith started making shots.
Well,
two things. Are we convinced that's going to happen again tonight?
Well,
Is George Hill going to be that good again in the first quarter again tonight?
Well, I'm convinced a lot of those guys were wide open for threes because the perimeter defense was horrendous. Like, I mean, they were giving them plenty of space. There were breakdowns all. I just don't know why that energy and that effort that you saw in game one and game two just stayed in Boston. No one played up to their potential.
No, they didn't play well. They didn't play well. If you're Marcus Morris, regardless of how much videotape you tried, there wasn't much you could do on LeBron in the first quarter because he wasn't shooting the basketball. You're right. The defense was lousy somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that's what Brad Stevens said in the first couple of games. You know, basically said, let LeBron get his and make sure everyone else is covered. And so when LeBron is finding open people, that's a problem. If you're Marcus Morris, and LeBron hit, I'm trying to remember, four, five threes in game three. I mean, I'm for going under screens and letting LeBron fire away from out there.
Oh, but he wasn't even, like, it's nothing, and you're nowhere near what he did in the first game. Like, there were a lot of those passes which were ridiculous. I mean, sometimes when LeBron makes, he might have had, what, four passes that just made your head spin during that game?
Yeah, he's good, but on a screen and roll, the roller was open each time.
Understood, and that's the thing, is that Marcus Morris has to be able to stop at least one of those passes.
Sure.
I mean, it was one of those games where just nobody showed up, It doesn't make me feel better either. Like I want to feel that, well, there's no way they can play as bad as they could, and I believe that's the case. But I just didn't think this team had it in them to lay an egg like that. Because that was one of the worst games I've seen them play all year.
Well, the question is, was it them, you know, reading all the stuff about how great they were and how great the head coaches
could
were?
Could be. They could have bought their own
Cleveland,
hype.
Or was it Cleveland just playing that well? Which is also a possibility. LeBron playing that well.
I think it was more about what the Celtics didn't do than what the Cavaliers did do. Like, I don't think that they can sustain that kind of, like, I mean, you had how many players in double figures that you had from the Cavaliers?
Might have had six,
possibly seven.
Marshall Hook took a shot at Rich yesterday.
Oh, how's that?
Did he now? What did he say?
He called him a homer. He said that everyone at the station would believe Cleveland, now has a shot, and he said, except for Rich, certainly.
That's true. I still believe that the Celtics are going to the finals.
No. A lot of people did, but he said that wouldn't believe it. He took a shot at you. He called you Homer.
Hmm.
Okay. So I'm a Homer. All right.
The hooker. The hook man.
Hot take hook.
The wild card.
Mm-hmm.
Wild card took a little shot at you.
Okay.
Just wanted to let you know. Wanted to let you get your guard up.
I can feel the burn.
You okay?
And it stings.
Yep.
Stings to the core.
I heard that. I said, oh, my goodness, Hook. Taking
the
a shot at
the
Rich.
Tree.
Yeah, well, listen. He was slamming Diet Cokes and giving me bottles of scotch. That's all that he's got to do. All right, we'll be back, Rich. We'll have headlines. What will we talk about?
We will get into the Patriots. They have something interesting going on today. A lot that has to do with whether or not you believe Tom Brady is fully invested in this team. We will find out a little bit more about that today. Also, the best story going on in sports. We will get to that as well.
Toucher and Rich.
Is this like a new country song? Oh, is it Foo Fighters? I wish they would get more airplay. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich.
If you just, like, landed on this planet and turned on any kind of award shows, or that, you would think that Foo Fighters were the only rock band that's around now.
They are.
It's just like the go-to rock band, the Foo Fighters.
Unless someone commits suicide from another rock band, they're really the only rock band that you hear about.
Anyone talks about, you're right.
Yeah.
It is very strange. Well, practice starts up again at Gillette this morning. It's the beginning of Phase 3 OTAs. Now, up to this point, we've seen no Brady and no Gronk out in the field, which may or may not be a big deal, seeing that the first two phases are mostly for workout purposes. But Phase 3 is different. In Phase 3, there's real football plays being run, and the Patriots can do 11-on-11 work. Plays are being taught by coaches, and Brady has never missed this portion before. So the big question is he going to show up for this one? According to his Instagram, he was just in New York, so it's not like he's hanging out with some prince again overseas. But this should be pretty interesting, keeping an eye on Foxborough to see whether or not he or Gronkowski shows this morning, especially because remember how recently there was the, announcement by Gronk. He put it out there that he had met with Coach Belichick, and you know he said he's going to be playing this season, and it seems like everyone kind of was on the same page. It almost makes me think that there was probably some sort of agreement between the two of them and just, hey, start acting like a good soldier, Gronk, and we're going to make something happen as soon as we can as far as getting you a some sort of update to your contract status.
When do they have to be there today?
I think it's like 8 or something. It's in the morning.
Ooh.
Yeah, so we should know pretty soon. News would break during our show.
Yes, indeed. 8 o'clock. Bated breath an hour and 20 minutes from now.
The Tom Brady thing, though, is even more interesting because, you know, seeing that he's never missed all this before, and I know he's always wanted this time to, you know, unplug and get away from everything. If he misses this when they're starting to actually put in plays and the coaches are coming out, doesn't it make you think a little bit differently about Tom Brady?
Sure it does.
And his commitment to the team.
Sure it does.
Yeah. Of all of them, I mean, before...
Absolutely it does. This is a guy who would constantly win the parking spot closest to the building because he was the workout warrior. I mean, that's what he's always prided himself on. And everyone else is supposed to follow his lead. I mean, this is the end of his career. Maybe not this year, but we're on the 16th hole here. So, of course it is. It makes all the difference in the world.
I think he's going to be there. I think that today he's actually going to show up. But if he doesn't, it says to me that this Guerrero thing and the whole situation that's been lingering for several months now is way worse than even we thought it was.
I think it's bad. I think it's been bad for a long time, and these guys have coexisted simply because once everyone gets in and once everyone decides to start going here, they're all unified towards a common goal, which is winning. No one wants to be embarrassed. So they're all, you know, they're together on that, but they're not together on anything else.
8 o'clock hour, boo!
That's right. What stuff for us.
Well, this is kind of the deadline for pouting time, isn't it? Like, this is about as far as you could go with the pouting, and you think that, well, maybe it's just something he just needs to get out of his system.
If he shows up for when the word mandatory is thrown in, he should be there.
Which is not till June.
That's right.
But this
it's
is
not mandatory yet.
But these are real plays being put out there.
I understand that, but he's been, I mean, look, you're Tom Brady. You know this offense. You've been in it for almost 2 decades. From his point of view, he doesn't necessarily have to be there. He knows all this stuff.
Right.
Anything the Patriots install this week, I think Brady has seen more than once.
Yeah, he's capable of, he doesn't necessarily
what you
need
is an arm to throw to receivers. That's what I'm saying.
What about the new guys out there that he's got to get some sort of chemistry
if he's
with?
Never missed it next month.
Well,
no.
He's never missed it before.
If he's never missed it before, then it is at least a story.
Sure.
Of course it is.
Now, does he need to be there?
No.
That's the point.
Not for them to be successful.
When it's mandatory and he doesn't show up, that's one thing.
I don't know. I just hear all these stories about how they do all the little things and it's all the rigorous practice and over and running up the hills and all this stuff that makes the Patriots far and away better than any other. You hear this like myth being thrown at you. And
Brady can't be running up hills. It's all about pliability.
Oh, that's a good point.
Oh, like that doesn't keep you pliable doing the uphill running?
You don't. Very little physical exertion. You just need someone
to stretch you out with bam.
He needs a guy like pulling on him with his dog leash. Yeah. We see him on the sidelines doing.
You just need a guy going nuts on your thigh so you kick like a dog. You know how when you pet a dog in the right spot?
Oh, yeah.
That's what goes on with Brady.
Yes. And he makes that strange noise.
Sure.
Yep.
Well, as bad as the Celtics' 30-point beatdown by the Cavs was on Saturday, it still wasn't as bad as the 41-point beatdown the Rockets got last night.
Kevin Durant will walk it up. Warriors attacking the basket to the south side of Oracle. Durant pulls up. He'll take a three. That's good. Durant above the break on the left wing.
They've broken it open. They're up by 27.
83 to 56.
Okay.
He's doing the math in his head while he's looking at the scoreboard.
27.
That's right.
We play that guy all the time because it's Golden State. And
Tim Roy.
As much as the play-by-play guy sounds like a Muppet, his color guy is even worse.
Yeah.
Hey, he's up by 27.
Well, game one, Golden State won by 13. Game two, Houston won by 22. And then game three, Golden State wins by 41. Who knows what the hell is happening in the Western Conference Finals? All we need to know is that losing by 41 makes for two nights in a row of bad basketball when you pair that with what happened with the Celtics. So one thing, however, that made for good TV was post-game when Kevin Durant sat in with Kenny Smith, Shaq, Ernie Johnson, and Charles Barkley. Charles, who has been in a war of words with Draymond Green as of late, at one point saying
it's Chris Webber.
What was Chris Webber been saying?
Chris Webber said that he wouldn't start on certain teams. And then when...
Draymond Green would not start on certain teams?
Yes, and then he backtracked a ton when he was... when Green was asked about it after a game, and Green, you know, said whatever. And then Webber, like, tripped all over himself backtracking from that
statement. Oh, I want to hear that. Because how do you justify Draymond Green not starting on a team? But either way, it was the hot take of the week. But
well, he said that Curry was the MVP of the league, but Draymond Green was the MVP of Golden State. But because Draymond Green doesn't score a ton of points, there would be teams that he wouldn't start on. I don't know. It was stupid.
It does sound pretty stupid. But Charles Barkley has said things like somebody should punch Draymond Green in the face, which, of course, made Draymond and his mom upset. But all of that led up to this fantastic exchange between Charles Barkley and Kevin Durant, who was sitting in with them after the game yesterday.
Is Draymond Green as annoying in person as he is on television?
Annoying who?
You should go talk to him downstairs.
Yeah. Is he annoying? You're around him every day. He's annoying on television.
What annoys you about Draymond?
He's going to apologize to him.
I mean, downstairs, you can go ask him.
Yeah, go ask him, man. Let's just go on down there. Why'd you go talk to him face-to-face? No, apparently that wasn't going to happen. So we are now up Golden State 2-1 in that series. It has been a very, very strange and almost a tough-to-watch series because of all the blowout wins that have been coming their way. So interesting on both fronts. So we will see tonight. By the way, you can hear the Celtics in Game 4 right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Not a lot of sandwiches and things being yelled during Game 3, I imagine, because... when they started talking about, oh, this was kind of funny. So the game was so boring that they started talking about the J.R. Smith foul from way before. And you could tell that the broadcasters were bored. So, you know, Chewbacca showed up and they're like, hey, it's Chewbacca. Yeah. So after the game, I guess Kevin Love was making a joke to Kendrick Perkins about, well, maybe tonight you should go hang out with Chewbacca. And he goes, who's that? And he goes, here he is. Chewbacca was sitting in the side court. He goes, I don't follow that new stuff. Kendrick Perkins,
attaboy,
not aware of Star Wars.
Well, perhaps he grew up without any sort of... Maybe he was blind for a good portion of his life.
Maybe that's why he always looked so sad and angry. He never had any kind of communication with the outside world.
If he'd only opened up his mind. I don't know how that's possible that you would not know who Chewbacca was.
I don't follow all that new stuff.
Yeah, I don't follow that new stuff. All right, so we'll take a break, and Rich, what we talk about?
Let's talk about the Golden Knights, because yes. that is just, it's insane what's happening in Vegas right now.
It absolutely is.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich, yesterday, a little bit of history made.
Yeah, this is just nuts.
Shot in front, loose. Shifley took a swing at it. The horn sounds. The game is over. Welcome to impossible. The Vegas Golden Knights again create history. They're in the Stanley Cup final with a 2-1 victory over the Winnipeg Jets. Everybody swarming Marc-Andre Fleury. The party is on, and it will continue as the house wins again, and Vegas is heading to the Stanley Cup final.
And I'm just thinking about what Dave Gosher would have said.
Yeah.
If it's not get the duck boats ready, what do you say? What do you say in Vegas?
This is so cruel for Dave. I feel really bad for him.
Right. It's like, you know what Mike Gorman said the other day, who is essentially the counterpart to what Dave Gosher is doing out there. He said it's like, you know, dating a girl all year long, and then someone else gets to take her to prom. Well, because at the very end of the best moments, you don't get to be there to make the calls.
Hopefully you've already, you know, gotten sick of having sex with him.
Maybe that's the case.
Yeah, and then prom is just, I got to buy a corsage.
It could be.
And all of these things. But yeah, you say like, hey, everyone, three apples in a row.
What does that mean?
That you pulled the lever on the slot
machine. Oh, you got the three apples.
You got three apples in a row.
Okay.
Right. Everything's coming up three apples.
Right, I can see that, the apples.
Yeah.
Okay. Ding,
ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Jackpot.
answering it, which would be pretty bad.
Hey, everybody! Snake eyes!
Maybe we should get Dave Gosher on the show this week.
Yeah, we're
and let him create
tomorrow.
Let him create the calls that he's not able to make.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
You know, we'll just say, all right, give us the call that you won't be able to hear. When they end up, if they end up winning the whole thing,
I think he got one game on radio. I think he got game one of this series because the guy whose job it was had a wedding to go to.
Well, they were talking. They were talking about how I was reading the paper yesterday that the way that well, who's the coach? I forget his name.
Gerard Gallant.
Gerard Gallant would keep practices very short and very intense,
mm-hmm.
and that there was an incredible amount of chemistry. And then Marc-Andre Fleury obviously returned back to his glory days. But this does show you that team chemistry means an awful lot.
Oh, no kidding.
And even Colin Miller was racking up like 17 to 19 minutes a game.
Dude, Riley Smith has been good.
All right, so look, I mean, look at this trade. Look at this trade. On expansion draft night, Florida Panthers traded Riley Smith to Vegas in exchange for Vegas taking Jonathan Marchessault off of their hands. So Florida made that trade. You know, we'll give you another guy just so you can take this underachieving guy off our roster. So in one day, in one trade, Vegas got Riley Smith and Marchessault, who were two of the top four scorers on the team this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is obviously
you also
team...
have to hit on an amazing amount of picks in the expansion draft, which they did. They about eight or nine of the guys they took on expansion draft night really performed well for them.
Yeah, they took a 25-year-old kid that was had done nothing, I believe in Carolina, had done nothing, and then he finished third in the league.
Connor Brick, you know,
third in the league in goals scored. So, but
that's Marchessault.
Okay, so what they did is basically it shows you that people poo-poo team chemistry, but these guys were having fun even in the Western Conference Finals. You could tell there was an attitude about this team. They're certainly not nearly as talented as Winnipeg, and yet here we are. They're in the NHL Finals, and they're in the NHL Finals where there's no reason they can't win.
And what's crazy is that...
Carlson, I got that wrong. Sorry about that. Keep going.
The city of Vegas is kind of torn on the success of the Golden Knights because obviously the people who live there love the fact that this team out of nowhere in its first year is able to go on and possibly win a Stanley Cup. However, if you are a worker at one of these casinos, you are not happy because at the beginning of the season, they were at one point a 500-1 odds to win the whole thing. And Vegas, I'm reading these articles, could stand to lose a ton of money if they end up winning. Because think about all the locals in town. I mean, how many of you think it's just like, oh, I'll put $10 sure. on the Golden Knights? Yeah, you know what? I'll put $50 on the Golden Knights. And now think of the paydays they're going to have to throw out there just for somebody who put out $50. What is that? What is $50? Is that $25,000 or something? It's 500-1, whatever 500 times 50 is. If someone could do the math, because I don't like doing that in my head.
So it was 250-1.
No, well, at one point it was 500-1.
At one point, yeah.
And I think that was during the preseason. They were at 500-1. But then I think like the majority of the time at the beginning of the season, I think it went down to like 300-1 or somewhere around there. But you could have gotten it for 500-1 at one point.
I'm going
to
guess Vegas will be okay.
Well, I'm just saying it's a massive hit they're going to end up taking, especially because they're local. And as I said, you've got those guys just putting a little bit of money on their team just for the hell of it. So this is going to be something. And by the way, a very underplayed storyline is that Winnipeg ruled. Like, they were an excellent team.
The second best record in the NHL during a regular season.
And Vegas bounced them, you know, 4-1. So
Winnipeg's a much more talented team on paper. And for some reason, Vegas has figured it out. And they have incredible team chemistry. I'll say it again. This is something, again, that is oftentimes overlooked. But if you look at Red Sox teams that had a ton of talent and fell apart in the playoffs, you can blame a lot of that on team chemistry. So this is a true example of that coming through.
Great story over in the East, too. Great story in the Eastern Conference. The Washington Capitals, who have choked for years, years, they couldn't get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they open up the Eastern Conference Finals with two wins in Tampa. So you're up 2-0, going home for games 3 and 4, and they play game 6 tonight, down 3-2.
Yep.
They have coughed it up a fur ball again.
Let's hope they choke again, which would
unbelievable.
Be absolutely phenomenal. By the way, a $50 bet at the beginning of the season would net you $25,000 if Las Vegas... Yeah, if a $50 bet would get you $25,000 if the Golden Knights end up winning the whole thing. So congratulations to them. By the way, the stick that Ryan Reeves used to score the game-winning goal is going to be heading to the Hockey Hall of Fame because this is such a historic moment.
There's nothing quite as impressive as the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Who would look at that stick? Honestly, the stick that got you to the Stanley Cup Finals?
But it's historic. It's a team that, you know, it's the expansion team. First time ever.
Right. The Hockey Hall of Fame is like a room. It's incredibly unimpressive.
Is it in Montreal?
Toronto. No,
it's in Toronto.
It's in a mall. And it's incredibly...
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I've been to Toronto, but I've never been there. I've never seen it.
I was just there last year.
Right.
Oh, yeah. It's not impressive at all.
Okay.
Not in the least. And I'm not... And I defy anyone to have gone there and gone like, wow.
Okay. Because the Basketball Hall of Fame's in a mall, too. So I'm just wondering, you know, how it matches up.
I haven't heard great things about the Basketball Hall of Fame either, but the Hockey Hall of Fame is not impressive.
The Basketball Hall of Fame is pretty extensive. Okay. They have a lot of stuff in there. All right, it's put together well.
All right, well, then it's not the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Okay. Okay.
The Hockey Hall of Fame, it's right by a food court.
Yeah, the Basketball Hall of Fame is like across the hall from like a Subway, you know?
It's the same thing.